Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
The Safety Third podcast records two podcasts every single week. One of them is what you're watching now, and the other one goes up on our Patreon. So if you are a long-haul trucker or a procrastinator.
Or you're in class.
Or you're in class. You know what? Yeah, you're just a bad student, and you would like more of your vice to help you avoid working on the things in your life that make your life better. You can go to our Patreon and subscribe and get an extra podcast every single week. I love you. All right, Nigel, you rap.
No.
Are we recording?
I
John
am recording.
Oh, wow. Is this a default intro? I know you guys have been sending us
intros. I was going to say, I like this one.
Yeah. Hey, what are you doing, Poo-poo? You find any treasures?
We've got a baby on set right now. It's complete pandemonium.
Absolute hazard. Welcome to this very special episode of the Safety Third podcast.
You sound kind of burned out, Will.
I am. You know, Kevin, on the way here.
Yeah.
Back from the store.
Okay.
I was driving. I went to Harbor Freight. And
sounds like a good time.
Well, Harbor Freight was fine.
Okay.
Except for the fact that I needed drywall stuff and they keep it all in the paint section, but they don't say paint/drywall on the aisle. It just says paint. How the fuck am I supposed to know where the drywall stuff is if I'm not thinking about paint?
What kind of drywall stuff does Harbor Freight
sell? The little
sell?
Metal bucket.
Oh.
And then
like the cake pins?
Scraper. Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyways, my day is bad because when I was driving back, everyone fucking forgot how to drive.
Yeah.
I'm okay bitching about this every episode of Safety Third podcast. Nobody uses their fucking turn signals anymore. you know a middle lane? You know when you're coming out of a parking lot?
Like a private parking lot. The suicide lane.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're coming out of a private parking lot, right? You're in your car. 2,000 tons. How much does a car weigh? Two tons. Of steel,
like,
and ass.
Maybe three.
3 tons, depending on how small
ten
your dick is.
10 tons.
And I'm coming out of a private parking lot, and there's a car that pulls up in the suicide lane to come in to the exit, the entrance that I'm exiting.
Mm. Yeah.
There's no cars. And they're just fucking sitting there.
Waiting for you to make the first move?
I have no idea. I don't have the right of way.
There's two things that I think are small pet peeves in driving that I always like screech about. Mostly when I'm driving with my brother. One is when you don't have the right of way and the person tries to be nice.
God. I know.
And they just like no. Yeah, like kind of what you said, you're leaving a parking lot and they just block traffic to let you go.
Yeah, so I don't have the right of way.
Sometimes that's nice.
I'm waiting
sometimes
for them.
Sometimes it's nice.
And then I can't see them. I think they see me screaming at them. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, go. Like, fucking go. The window, tinted window rolls down and you just see little fingers dangling out. Like, go.
Yeah.
Like, trying to hand the right of way. You know, if someone hands you the right of way and you go and they change their mind, it is absolutely your fault.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Like,
but it's just the fact that if they just went.
Yeah.
They would have been gone,
yep.
And you could have gone.
They made it.
The only time I said it's nice is when you know when you have no chance of merging because the traffic's just infinity. When the person takes they sacrifice themselves and they're like, look, there's so much traffic ahead. This doesn't matter. I'm just going to stop early to let you in. You're like, okay, bless your soul. But when it's like open road and the person stops, I'm like, you're just making my life worse.
But I know this intersection that you're talking about, right? So imagine you're looking out on a road. Yeah. You're trying to turn left. There's a car in the middle lane towards the left. You have to get into that middle lane to get over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there was nothing stopping them from coming into the parking lot.
No.
They could have just gone.
They could have just gone.
You literally, they had to go first.
I'm waiting for them because they are allowed to go and I am not.
Yeah.
Like, and there's nothing in their way.
They're just creating an entire interaction that didn't need to exist.
I'm a really courteous driver and I'm really aggressive, I think. Mm. Like, I will give people an out, like the situation where someone's trapped and they can't get out. And one time I did that and the dude, like old senior citizen, just pulls straight out across all four lanes of intersection to get to the left turn lane and is like parked like sideways because he couldn't quite make it. And I'm sitting there and be like, I thought you would just quick ride and go straight. But now he's like blocking me.
And now you're like, are you? I think that's happened to everybody like once. And then everybody becomes jaded and they don't let anybody else do that.
I am horrified that people are allowed to drive motor vehicles that weigh 200 tons on a daily basis.
You know, my big sexy truck, big masculine.
You use it actually as a truck though. That's the difference.
Well, it's so big and awesome.
It is a little bit too big.
sometimes like the part I can't turn because somebody like, you know, they're trying to take they're trying to get out of the parking lot. Mm. I'm trying to get in. But the entrance is too small that I can't take. I have to take a wide right and they're in the way. So I have to stop and like let them go. But sometimes they just won't.
I'll just
sit there and I'll turn into the parking lot and I'll get like an inch away from their driver's door.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have to move now.
I
like make it obvious that I can't turn in.
I read something online that I strongly agree with about the state of trucks and the people who drive them. And it was about how the ultimate utility vehicle is actually like a van.
Okay. Yeah. Like the big utility van.
Like a cargo van.
Yeah.
Like it's got.
That's what I said. The caravan.
Why? I'm like, I'm the more I think about it, you know, like even my dad did this because my dad does a bunch of handyman work. He like bought this truck and then built a whole like, you know, 6 foot deep drawer system in the bed of the truck.
Yeah.
And it's pretty nice. The more I think about it, I'm like, why didn't you just get a van?
Yeah. You can actually have shelves in a van.
Yeah. And everything's locked in the van. Like there's like a camper shell on the truck and it has like side panels you can open that are locked. And I'm like, wouldn't a van do the same thing?
Yeah. Cause he can never actually put anything in the bed.
Right.
So because there's shelves and
the more I think about that, the more I'm like, why is the truck the like go-to thing for working?
I don't know, but I know that there's a guy who I'm still somewhat in contact with. He buys and sells used lab equipment.
Yeah.
And he brought it up randomly. I don't know why. He was like justifying his purchase of a truck to me. But I don't know how the conversation came up. But it's like he was one of the few people where I've ever met. I'm like, oh, yeah, this guy needs a truck because he moves a lot of scrap gear around. Kind of like when you had your lathe and stuff.
Right.
It's like he literally would go to places and they just forklift drop it into the flatbed and he drives away. And I'm like, yeah, if you have like anything above that, you're not going to be able to carry that. And then his truck also, he lives out in the country. And he was like, I need 4-wheel drive because I got stuck for years constantly, like multiple times a year in the snow. So he's like, I wanted a higher truck that I could actually drive through unplowed streets. And I'm like, okay, this is like pretty specific, but that totally makes sense to me. But like you're saying, for a lot of people, having just like a van or something, I don't think it would make any difference.
Vans don't have the towing capacity though.
You can absolutely get vans with towing capacity.
Can you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm like 90% certain you can.
Actually, that's fair too, if you're specifically towing. But I can guarantee you the average truck owner doesn't tow and doesn't move scrap items.
Your dad tows stuff.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any bed space.
But nothing. I think I have like a rule of thumb. If you've never carried a load where your wheels are like scraping against the wheel wells, you really should get a van instead of a truck.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think your truck has been very well justified.
It's been abused. You know what? I can't even drive my truck right now. It's the registration's expired, but I figured out a cheat. I figured out here's a little hack for you guys.
Keep driving without registering it?
Yes. Well, number one, well, I do, but there's a technique to this, okay?
Like, Kevin, are you admitting a crime?
Yeah, he's admitting. I would say he's already committed the crime. He's just admitting to it now.
What you do is you get a lot of like drywall or something that sticks way out the back of the truck, and you put the tailgate down. And if it's the stuff sticks out far enough back, the cops can't see your license plate. So they don't know it's expired. So all you have to do is just ride around with like a couple of sheets of drywall in the back.
That's a good technique, Kevin. That's
it's
technique.
Pretty good.
I mean,
what happens?
Yeah.
What happens in California if you get caught? You just get a fine or something?
I think that you get like you're supposed to fix it. I don't know.
I'm just
speculating because I've definitely gotten pulled over with an expired registration when I was trying to get my car smogged, and I think that it's not bad until it's like really bad.
Yeah,
I think you
get a warning once.
They might be able to tell that you've been warned before as well, or like if you keep getting pulled over for it.
Oh, definitely.
I think that it's pretty lax though,
especially you'd think in California.
Yeah,
because I think that they're supposed to be. I don't know.
I think they don't care until a certain point. Maybe if you're like really expired, and then your maybe car gets impounded or something. Like I think it's like a
or it turns from like a citation into a misdemeanor or something like that with actual. Yeah,
I don't know. I've just never heard of anybody really getting in any trouble for that. No. I bring this up because we were just recently talking about a friend of ours. So this popped into my head. This is years ago, probably like 8 years ago. He got pulled over by the police, and the cop, I wasn't there, but I was on the same trip. We were in two separate cars, but his car got destroyed because the cop's like, license and registration. And my friend's like, and he's just like, and he's like, I don't have that. He's just like, what do you mean? He had no license and no registration.
That's bad.
And no insurance.
Yeah.
And the cop was like, you know, if it was just one of those things, I could have made like an exception. He's like, but all three. So they just took the car and it was such a crappy car. My friend just never got it. He just was like, okay, keep it. That was it. Like there's
cheaper than getting your registration and insurance.
There was like no repercussion. I think he just lost his car and that was it. But the car was like, it wasn't an expensive car, like, at most a couple grand. So it was like, it was pretty old. It was an old secondhand car and it was kind of on its way out anyway. So I think my friend was like, well, I saw that one coming.
I think old and that was it. There was like, cars are so unappreciated.
Yeah.
Like it is so freeing. So liberating.
To just not care.
It's like driving a rental car.
You're driving to the grocery store. You pull into the parking lot. There's only one spot left, but there's a shopping cart in it. Shopping cart. You fucking
not for
run,
long.
You run into it. You fucking run into it with your car.
Yeah.
You push it out of the way.
My dad has so many good stories with that because he would always just get the cheapest van that he could. And it was always either he got it, his friends gave it to him for free because they went to go scrap the car because it was so old. And they're like, oh, we'll give you $100 for it. And then they would tell my dad, oh, if you want to just take it, you can just have it. Just pay for the registration and everything. So he would always drive around a car that he basically got for free. So anytime he got into an accident, which wasn't often, I was in the car once.
You're just
where
like
someone
park it on the side of the road and leave.
No, I was in the car once, and it's one of the very few accidents I've been in. We got rear-ended at a red light, and it was hard enough that like the glass in the back hit us in the back of the head. Like it was a pretty jostling thing, but we get out, and my dad, we all felt worse for the other guy's car. My dad's like, I don't care.
Looks at the damage, and, like, oh, we're all good. The window's blown out, the car is destroyed.
My dad was like, oh, it's fine. So what he did was he went home, and he called the insurance company, and he said, they were like, oh, we could pay you, like, I think they were like, we could,
$350.
We've assessed the damages. It's like $4,000 or $5,000 because the whole back door is dented, the window's blown out, everything. And my dad's like, how about you give me $3,500 and I just get it, I fix it myself. And they just sent him a check for $3,500. But he bought that car for $500.
Wow.
So he's like, yo, and he went to the junkyard and he bought a new window for $35. And then all he did was hammer out the back door and replace, like, I think the lock was even fine. He just hammered it out and put the new window in. And he just pocketed the rest, and he's like, yep, I made money on this car.
I'm pretty sure that's how those dash cam scams work. You,
oh, yeah.
They, like, slam on their brakes really hard in front of you.
Yeah, was your dad scamming people?
Was my dad committing insurance fraud?
A scammer.
Oh, my God. It explains so much.
One time, I've only done a couple of bad things in a car, and it was all in college because I was, like, sleep deprived driving. Really.
What bad things have you done?
The first, it's like almost falling asleep, or no, probably actually falling asleep. That only happened exactly once, like, on my way home, completely exhausted, and, like, the bumps on the side of the road. It was just, you know, when you're like, eyes just, like, will, like,
start,
you just, you, like,
closing.
Can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand, because when I go to bed at night, like, I never fall asleep that good, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, why, maybe I need, like, some sort of freeway driving simulator, and then I'll like, fall asleep at the
Wheel. Same sitting in class. It's like, how do you just, like, dude, right. I would pass out in class.
Like, why can I fall asleep here but not in bed? So that one was kind of like, oh, shit, that was bad.
Yeah.
That only happened once. The other time was running a red light, like, completely zoned out. Same thing, just, like, sleep deprived. And I slam on the brakes, you know, I end up, like, halfway in the intersection. There's no cars. It was, like, a tiny little middle of, you know, town intersection. I'm like, well, what do? I got to either back up or go forward. So I just went forward and finished the job. And then the third one is like, the first time it had rained in a while. So I'm driving this shitty little pickup truck. And you know when you are coming up to a light and it turns yellow and you're like, I'm going to drive. Like, I'm going to go through the yellow light.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, like, stopping would be more aggressive. Well, the guy in front of me decided to stop at the yellow light. So he comes to a stop at the light when it's still yellow.
Oh.
And I was preparing to go through.
Yeah.
And it had just rained for the first time. So, like,
that's
slam,
like, a nightmare,
on the,
you know, it's like you're sliding. You're like, oh,
old shitty truck, no,
no
ABS. So I'm sliding, and I think he might have been sliding too. And I just, like, kind of bumper car it, and it, like, pushes him, like, a couple more feet forward. And he like pulls over. He's in this, like, a piece of shit car too. So he gets out of the car. I'm like, no, like, pull over, like, go through the intersection, and, like, we'll pull over there. Like, don't just get out in the middle of the road. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So we pull over, and he gets out, and he looks at his car, and he looks at my car, and he's like, we all good. And I was like, all right.
Excellent.
I feel like the world would be a much better place if we all drove shitty cars. Because you could just, I mean, really, you probably would destroy the insurance industry, except for, like, actual,
yeah,
you know, like, bodily harm. I mean, really.
Have I told you?
Because everybody would be like, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is only vaguely related. I was going to say, I told you about my retirement dream, right?
Which one?
As the one where I buy a really crappy car and drive around. Just like,
that's
not,
your
not
whole
looking
retirement
for trouble.
Dream? What the
no,
fuck?
No, listen. Not looking for trouble, but I'm not avoiding it either. So what you do is you just drive around, like, you know, you're retired. You don't have anywhere to be.
Oh, I get it.
If someone starts changing lanes, I'm not getting out of the way. And it's like these douchebag. These douche drivers who are driving kind of nice cars, I was like, I'll just, you know, the guy who merges and cuts you off, I'm not touching the brakes. You just
that's Blue Ghost.
This is your whole retirement plan. Holy shit, Blue Ghost.
Yeah.
Wait, do you know about Blue Ghost?
No, I've no idea.
Okay. Oh, here's some lore.
Oh my God, have we ever talked about Blue Ghost?
I don't know, maybe.
How have we ever? I feel like we had to. There's no fucking way we haven't talked about Blue Ghost.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, there is this legendary
mythical
creature called Blue Ghost.
Yeah.
It's this white trash, middle-aged white dude.
As far as we can tell. Actually, no. We've seen him getting...
Wait,
oh,
this,
no,
we've
seen him.
Lives in
Southern
California. I think it's, like, probably, like, 3 miles, like, 3 hours away.
Yeah, you actually...
South LA. Like, it was, like, total, like, one of those absolutely
you
lovely...
You geolocated his place once.
Yeah, it was so bad what this guy would do. I can't describe it as anything other than some of the most reckless driving I've ever seen in my life.
It was basically all insurance fraud.
No, but it was worse than that, because it wasn't insurance fraud. Like, it was like the guy was so aggressive. Okay, well, let's just maybe we start with an example to try to explain how psychotic.
Okay, okay.
Was. We found this like
is this real?
Long time.
Is this related to my retirement dream?
Yeah. Yes, kind of. So yeah. What this guy would do is he would purposely put himself into situations where he could get mad at other drivers or have them hit him. I feel like it was just aggressive driving though, usually.
Or if somebody was merging in front of him, like what he would do is like
he would hit
the gas.
Yes.
And try to end up in the spot right where they were merging and then get hit.
Yeah, it's like the idea of you don't have the right of way when doing a merge taken to the next level, where it's like, not only do you not have the right of way, but I'm going to put you in a situation that's even worse than already like having to merge. So like one example he did is he's like turning into his condo complex where he lives.
Yeah.
And to make the left turn, like what do? You go straight and then you put your turn signal on and then you turn left.
Yeah.
What this guy would do, Ghost would do, is he would put his turn signal on, but then he would go to the right, like kind of in the shoulder to make like a really wide, unnecessary left turn.
Yep.
And then the cars behind him would be like, oh, this guy he put the wrong turn signal on. He's actually pulling to the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they would go past him. And right when they go past me, to rip in front of them.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one where they hit him.
Yeah, there was actually a lot of those videos on his channel. Like it's like he did that every day coming home from work.
Yes.
Just tried to bait people into T-boning him or something.
It was
like that.
It was absolutely insane. And like he would do this with his like wife and child in the car. It was fucking unhinged.
The kid was always screaming and crying and the wife's yelling at him.
Wait, really?
Dude, yeah.
I have never been more. I think like I was trying to figure out like where the hell is this happening? Cause like, you know, when you like see videos and you can tell it's California.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is in California, like where in California?
Like, there's a chance that we might encounter this guy on the
exactly.
road.
And I inevitably, like a year later, cause I was so interested in like trying to like, you know, basically like the worst driver in California. Like it was so bad.
You were talking about doing a YouTube video on this guy. Yeah.
Cause it was so bad. And so like, he's going to get somebody killed. He's going to like get his like family killed. And he's doing something in the car. There was one where he like gets like in a fight where he like gets out of his car to get in an altercation with
some bikers.
Yes. You know the thing where like the meme where you like walk up like this and the other person stands up and they're like a foot taller and then you're just like, you walk backwards, have a nice day, sir. Yeah. He does that and his wife and kid are in the car like screaming at him. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And he like inevitably a year later, there's a whole like blown up news story of this
all
guy.
Over Reddit. It was like top of Reddit videos or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got like, I think it was like Reddit and then somebody went in and basically reported him. And I think he's got to still be in prison.
Yeah. I mean, like once they went back and they looked at all that evidence, there must have been over 100 videos.
Every single video was not just bad driving. It was like actual reckless endangerment.
I think I heard about, did he get hit?
All the time.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like I heard about that.
It was like Blue Ghost, but it was like B1L. Blue and then G4. Oh, I don't know. It was like Blue Ghost alphanumeric.
I kind of sad that we didn't like do a thing earlier because it ended up, you know, happening without us. Essentially, like imagine posting incriminating stuff online like that where you're like actually endangering people on the freeway, endangering your wife, your child, driving a car. And
it looked so bad.
This guy
thought he was like 100% in the right. Yeah. It was insane.
I've never
seen. And then he would talk shit to people in the comments too. It was like he would accuse everybody else of being like bad drivers in the comments.
Yeah.
Like you don't know the rules of the road.
How about you go try that and see how it works out for you?
Yeah. He would like delete like the rear cam footage or something like that so people couldn't tell that he would like merge into people.
It was definitely strategically like hiding the stuff that made him look, I mean it all made him like his bar for what made him look bad was so low. Dude, I think all the videos are gone too. I'm pretty sure the channel got terminated.
It did. It got wiped.
Yeah, I'm sad. I don't think I downloaded any of them.
I still think you can find some stuff on Reddit maybe. Yeah. I'm surprised that nobody archived it maybe like a fan did. Archive.
So the guy's just certifiably like unhinged.
Absolutely unhinged, but then like putting people in danger and putting his own family in danger. And I don't even have a comparison other than like you're like opening a door for somebody and then right as they get up to the door, you slam it in their face.
Yeah.
Like it's
it's, oh, did you expect me to hold the door for you?
Yeah, it's like baiting somebody into thinking you're being courteous or being, and then I just, it's so.
Yeah, they walk amongst us.
Yep.
They drive amongst us.
And I, you know, if that's a sign of anything, it makes me think that just drivers in general are like, I don't know what it is. Dude, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know. Please use your turn signals. Jesus Christ.
I was naughty in high school when I just started driving. Like,
what do you do?
Oh, I got pulled over all the time. But it was always like, you know, Nigel was talking about the license and registration thing. That was me, dude. I never had my insurance card on me. I like my registration. I don't know where it
like,
goes.
Then you have to go to court.
You have to go to court. You just have to go to the DMV and show it.
That is such a nuisance.
Yeah, it is.
That's so much worse than a ticket.
Or see, I had a motorcycle too. Yeah. So a lot of the times it's like, where do you put it on your motorcycle? You like put it under your seat.
Between
kind
your butt
of
cheeks.
Yeah, you got to clench really hard though, because I was going really fast.
You like hand it to him and it's just like disintegrating.
I give it to my passenger. I'm like, here, hold this. I did get in trouble for speeding a couple times, and I got my license.
How bad?
Well, one of them was really bad.
You know when Kevin says it's bad, it's bad.
One of them was, I think I was going 127 on the highway. It was like midnight.
On a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
There was nobody else on the road. There was a Camaro that just merged on the highway right next to me. And he's like, vroom, vroom. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And I nailed
really?
It on my
There's
bike.
There's no
and,
way a Camaro is going to keep up with a motorcycle. Like a 50cc Vespa.
No, it was a Yamaha R6.
No, the Camaro, I'm saying. There's no way the Camaro keeps up.
Oh, no, it did. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Even off the...
Even, yeah. Well, I mean, we were already going 70. And yeah, it wow. I mean, here's... Let me finish.
Okay.
So we're racing. He's pulling ahead of me. A little bit. I wouldn't say by much, but
he was pulling ahead of you at 127 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And there was a cop up here on this overpass.
Yeah.
He's got us with his speed gun and he comes flying down the other side of the on ramp
to catch up.
To catch up. Yes. And he didn't stop.
The cop didn't?
The Camaro didn't stop. I stopped. And I got the ticket. And I'm like, what
was
do you.
Was he lenient though, at least?
Yeah, he was. He gave me 100 and. I think he gave me 99 miles per hour because 100 is a life. They take your license away at 100. Because
he was like, you know what? You stopped.
Do you know what that guy just taught you?
Not to stop for a cop.
Not stop. What the fuck? Go after the guy who's not stopping.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, he was going faster than me. And the cop said, well, you stopped.
Also, I'm pretty sure. Don't take this. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not sure a lawyer would ever advise this. But like, I don't think high speed pursuits and motorcycles are something that happened very frequently because they know it ends up
they
killing
do.
The motorcycle drivers.
Yeah, I know that because another time I got pulled over, I wasn't really speeding. I was more of just like, you know, doing that weaving thing through traffic. You can't do that in Florida. And
you can do that here.
The police guy, the sheriff snuck up behind me at a stoplight. He followed me for like a mile, snuck up behind me and ripped the key out of my bike. Yeah, I didn't even see it. You know, I just saw like an arm reach in front of me and take the key out. I look up and there's a cop there and he's like, you're not going to run now. So I guess he had so many motorcyclists
oh my God.
Run from him.
You didn't even run.
I didn't even run. I'm like, I wouldn't have run. I
he
promise.
He didn't give
I
him
promise.
The chance.
And then he's like, are you sure you wouldn't have run? And I'm like, yeah, I would never do that. And he's like, okay, you're free to go.
He pulls out his gun and kills me.
Yeah. But the time I got my license suspended, it wasn't bad. I was going like.
Kevin.
God, he's got the gambit.
No. This one wasn't my fault.
Okay.
So I was going like 38 and a 30 or something. It's like the road in my neighborhood. Yeah. The cop pulls me over and he has trouble with his computer. Like he can't actually send anything in.
Mm.
So he's like, oh, well, it's your lucky day. You get to go free. I get a notification in the mail like a month later saying that my license has been suspended because I didn't pay my ticket. Yeah.
Wait, what ticket?
No, I had a court date because I didn't pay my ticket.
And you had no idea.
And I had no idea.
Oh my God.
And I turned out I was driving on a suspended license for like, you know, a month or two.
I hate automotive legalities and bureaucracy so much. Like they don't make it easy. They don't make like I got okay. Here's the worst one. I know I've complained about this one before. Like it's not bad. It's just the bureaucracy is bad. I got my car smogged late as usual because there's always something that you have to fix.
Yeah.
And so it was like a couple months past registration, which is not bad at all. Like, really, come on. It's not bad. A couple months past.
No, because they've been giving you shit the whole time.
Right.
Like, you've been trying.
Right. It's trying. And I always pay. It's always paid. So So even though the restrictions expired, yeah. I have already paid, which is actually all they care about, right? Like, I haven't passed smog, but I've paid. It's never a payment issue. I always pay on time.
Yeah.
It's the smog is the part that drags out. I pass smog. They mail me my sticker, but it's still in the mail. I haven't gotten it.
Oh.
And I get a ticket on my car for not displaying my sticker that has not arrived.
Guess what? Wrecked.
So I call. I call the police department and I say, hey, this is stupid because I haven't gotten my sticker yet. How am I supposed to display a sticker that I'm still waiting for the DMV to send me?
Yeah.
And they said, oh, skill we issue? Don't handle that here. You have to call. And it was like some private company or some, I have no idea who I was supposed to call to fight it. And I was like, all right. And I just paid the $70 ticket. Like, am I actually going to like call and figure out and do this
government
whole back and
wins
forth?
Again.
Because I mean, I hadn't displayed my registration sticker, but like, what do I tell them? I haven't gotten it. Like, they're gonna be like, prove it.
How have they not figured this out yet? Why do I still need to have my license, registration, and proof of insurance on me?
I don't know.
Because you know, if you give them something fake, they can tell.
You're in the computer. Like,
I know I'm in the so it's like, why? What's
they?
With
they
the...
know everything about you.
So I mean, I can tell you an answer that off the top of my head that I think is that probably for you, it's so that if you are in an accident with someone else, there is this like expectation that you have your legal documents. Because imagine you had an accident and someone's like, I don't have my license or registration or insurance.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That makes sense.
Well, they could say that anyway, even like, if they don't.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, but now if they don't have that, you have legal recourse to be like, this guy's in trouble. I'm just saying, like, it does make it so.
I think that's totally it.
It creates an incentive to, like, actually have your stuff with you.
Right.
I would assume, I'm not trying to defend them that much. I'm like, in my head,
that's right. I think that's right. That makes sense.
Yeah, but you could still always say, like,
but they can't predict everything. Yeah. Well, I mean, then they give you a fake number. And
yeah, I mean, you could do that anyway. You know, you could have your burner that you give to the guy that you hit, and then the real one you give to the cop.
Yeah. And then they take your license plate and file a report.
You just want to create a system where it's like most people have it. If like something happens,
it's easier to do it right than to try to skirt around it. I think that's usually how it works. You end up living a miserable life if you're constantly trying to run from that stuff.
Yeah,
because then you're like, you know, you're like making the paranoia for yourself. Like you're like building a world where people are trying to find you. It's miserable.
Like if I wasn't required to have license and registration when driving, I would probably just leave it at home all the time.
Because
when I get a new registration, I have to replace it with the old one. Man, that takes me like weeks to do.
Yeah. Or let me put it on my phone or something. Or I don't. You know, I don't fight. You just put it in there once a year and whatever.
Yeah, you can do insurance on your phone now, but
oh really?
I don't have that app. I don't even know.
I don't know if I have to make an account.
I definitely have insurance.
The one time I ever got pulled over.
I'm saying I'm not. You know, I plead the fifth. I'm just saying that I have it for anybody that's listening.
Yeah. Jesus the Christ. One time I ever got pulled over. Wait, Kevin.
It's set up on auto pay, so I'm just assuming I still, you know, it's like a trust thing. Like I trust that they would notify me.
You trust the system that you just complained about?
I would trust them to notify me if the payment stopped working.
You thought your electricity was on auto pay too?
Well, it's, yeah. Good point. They turn the lights off.
Wait, can I ask you guys about your government auctions?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me, do you guys have techniques on how to win?
Yes, do not bid until the last 5 minutes.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm.
What about the last 1 minute and 1 second?
So the way GovDeals works is it bumps it back up a couple of minutes.
Well, for how much time? Like, just on the Canadian one, it's only if it's less than a minute.
Yeah, I think
that gets scary because there's no margin for error. Like, you know, if your page loads weird or there's like some issue.
But at 1 minute and 1 second, I'm like, if you can slam a bid in, get notified, but they have 1 minute to come and fight you.
What I would do, come up with a number that you're willing to spend. You'll usually end up going about 50% over anyways.
Yeah.
And then like literally at the end, like just watch it. Watch what other people do. Like other people they're so stupid, dude. I don't know how long has eBay and auction sites been around, and these dumbasses still haven't figured out.
Yeah,
like why would you bid on something a week before it ends?
Yeah,
like the week
it's just a waste of your own time, honestly.
Right, you look at the watch list. The watch list is the most important like criteria. There is like how like don't look at the two dumbasses bidding against each other. you know, a week and a half before the bidding. Yeah. Look at how many people are watching it.
And other stuff in that lot. Uh-huh. So you know how many eyes are on it. Yeah.
And like those people are going to come in at the last minute. And so have a price. That's the most important part. Come up with a price that you're willing to pay for it. And then just watch it. Like check on it. Like, you know, maybe like every other day. It's easy to check on once a day. Just put in your watch list and go check on it. It's kind of my, you know. Like,
yeah, ritual.
It's like reading the newspaper for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Except it's not news. It's shit I don't need. And at the very end, literally, like, put a timer on your phone for like an hour or 45 minutes and then just keep setting a timer. And just like once you're at the 20 minute mark, just hang out on your computer with it open on a tab and just watch what happens. Yeah. And then at the very end, like at the 5 minute mark, like I would say there's no point in waiting until like 1 second because it just drags the whole thing out. Unless you're trying to be really annoying to someone.
No, I'm saying, but the 1 minute, 1 second doesn't extend the length.
No, it definitely does.
On the Canadian one, it's only if it's less than a minute.
If it's less than a minute? Oh, yeah. So it'll keep counting down, yeah.
It'll keep going, but yeah. It means that if people got outbid, yeah. They now have 1 minute to make a decision.
Yeah, that's fine. That's like, I think so,
sometimes you end up sitting there for like 20 minutes, just going back and forth. Yeah.
And that, so like I would say, don't bid it up early. Put your maximum bid, just auto bid it at the like 5 minutes before.
Yeah.
That way, like if somebody else bidding, because at that point it's just a war of attrition. Like you're just going to see.
Yeah.
Like,
people start dropping out. Yeah. Like you start knocking out other people's auto bids.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I'm not going to pay $5,000 plus the 12% plus the like tax, the 8% tax.
So yeah.
It ends up bumping it up like another 20%. So you're paying $5,000. That's actually $6,000 out of the gate. Pick it up, like,
yeah. So you have like two levels, right? You have the how much you're like willing to pay right away, like, you know, yeah. Just to see if you can knock people out.
Yeah.
So it's like the lower high number, and then maybe then you have like the upper price that you'd be willing to pay, and that's like what you would start manually bidding up to.
Yeah, you're either gonna get a really good deal, or there's a bunch of other people fighting for it, and it's like,
I got because I was bidding for something today, and man, I'm salty. No, I'm happy I got it, but it it was us against one person, and I'm like, man, if that guy just didn't show up, we would have gotten it for so much cheaper. The guy just drove the price up for no reason.
Oh, yeah, and then bailed.
It was one guy.
I've definitely messed with people before where I know, like when you know there's something that's worth $200 and it's like at, you know, 50, like they think they're going to get it for 50, but you know, they're probably willing to pay like 150 and you just keep kicking it up.
Oh my God.
Well, I bought like the stainless table for doing like hydraulic work.
Oh yeah.
And
there was one guy trying to buy all of them as a set.
The 4 foot table ended up selling for way more than the 6 foot, like the 8 foot tables, because he really wanted the full set. And so just to mess with him, there were a couple that ended a little bit, like a couple hours later.
Yeah.
I just was kicking those up too, because you could see it was the same guy.
That's fucked up.
I know.
That is not
he
nice.
Made me pay $120 for a 4 foot stainless table, which is still a good deal. But he got the long ones for like $50.
Yep.
Bastard.
How many people are watching this thing that you're trying to buy, Nigel? I'm looking at it now, but it doesn't say.
I don't think you can say, you can't see how many people are watching, I don't think.
What?
Yeah, this is different. It's like, it's actually a government surplus of Canada.
That's
website.
Probably why it's a crappy website. That's so stupid.
So, it's a government website. It's not, I like that because all the ones here are, they're like private.
No, maybe it's not. It says
government of Canada.
Yeah, it's all the government.
Why do we get, does only America get .gov?
I don't know.
How does .gov work?
But GovDeals is not run by
It's not .gov. It's...
Yeah, GovDeals is a private company. I actually...
What?
Government
Deals is not run by the government?
I called GovDeals the other day. I called them. Okay. I was so fed up with some bullshit.
Yeah?
That I found the contact number and I called and somebody picked up.
Wow.
And I said, what the fuck is
California
State University Long Beach doing?
Oh, yeah.
So, like... When we do GovDeals, and I think a lot of people do GovDeals, you search by location because you're buying big stuff that you have to go pick up, right?
Like find stuff close to you because nobody really wants to ship stuff.
They will not ship stuff. I don't think there's a single thing
small things, they still don't want to bother with shipping it.
You have to go and pick it up. They're like, and I don't know why the location search is like so buried, because I can't imagine that everybody shops like this. I put in a radius. I do like 100 mile radius and put in the zip code. And one of the entities that pops up is California State University, Long Beach. And sometimes they'll post a bunch of bullshit. It's like Lost and Found. But they won't post a lot of Lost and Found. It's not like, here's a box of sunglasses or something. They'll be like, a pair of sunglasses. A bicycle.
Yeah.
And normally, it's like, it'll all come up at like 8 in the morning. Whoever's running, it's got to be a bot. I don't know. Maybe they have a, like, they can automatically like submit them and whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a couple dozen items at the most. So the other day, last week, middle of the week, I'm doing my morning ritual of govdeals.com. Location search, enter my parameters, hit go, and it all of a sudden shows me some baseball jerseys. And I was like, cool, I don't fucking want that. I'll just go to the next page. And there's more baseball jerseys. And I click on the next page, and there's more baseball jerseys.
More.
And I click on the next page, and it's more baseball jerseys and like a truck from someone other, some other
buried in there.
Government seller. Yeah, buried in there.
Oh, that's the worst.
And so then I click on the next page, and it's now it's baseball pants. Single pairs of baseball pants listed for like $20. And I click on the next page. How many times do you think I clicked on the page until I finally got to the end of the complete flood, the swamp of California State University, Long Beach? 32 pages.
32 pages.
800 listings.
All at once. Basically.
800 listings for, it was a fucking swap meet, bro.
That's
it was
nuts.
Horrible. Like imagine location search and they're flooding. GovDeals is like, it's Taylor Dunn's used medical equipment.
Yeah.
A surplus box of USAID condoms. 40,000 condoms.
40,000. That's how it'd be on GovDeals, though. It's like 12,000 pallets of condoms.
Yeah. I do not come on GovDeals to buy an individual California State University Long Beach surplus like baseball pants. It's not even a complete uniform. Like, who's going to go on there and buy? Like, I actually was so mad.
Yeah, you called
it,
them.
It ruined my GovDeals morning experience that I called them. And she was like, she didn't even say like, oh, go fuck yourself. She literally was like, oh, could you send an email with pictures? should I read it? Should I read my GovDeals email that I sent? It was very professional. I said, I felt so actually happy that they picked up the phone and talked. Like, I think so many of these businesses just are, you know, it's like nobody exists here. Not a real thing.
On the Canadian government ones, they put up, there are a few little like stinky things that they sell, and I don't know why. Like little tiny knickknacks, and I'm like, who's bidding? Who would ever bid on this?
I just reached out to phone support and was instructed to send screenshots to the seller misusing the GovDeals platform. California State University Long Beach consistently spams low quality single item listings which flood location based search. Normally it's a few dozen posts, which is annoying but easy to ignore. Today, they published over 32 pages of low-quality duplicate single-item listings, nearly 800 listings, completely destroying location search that I and many others use to find nearby items. Please stop them from treating this platform like a swap meet.
Yeah, take that to eBay.
eBay's not that bad.
No, I'm saying, like, take that style.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just sell listings it, like, to a huge eBay. Box of jerseys, like 10 jerseys at a time.
Yeah. Because you're also paying like an extra like 15% to BidSpotter too.
Yeah. So anyways,
or whatever GovDeals.
That's my.
So weird that it's not that it's private.
No. What are you talking about? The government's incompetent. This is absolutely what they do. Some private entity comes in and runs. I think that if an auction site was run by the government, it would be significantly worse. Also. No, it just definitely makes sense for it to be a private entity because it's just a fee on top of it that they take. It's like you pay GovDeals 12%, and the actual money goes to the entity.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense.
I still think the government should do it. I mean, it just doesn't...
Do you think they would do a good job?
These people are just middlemanning. They're like leeches on society, bro.
No, they're providing us... Are you kidding? A $220 Taylor Dunn is not a leech on society.
The government should be able to do that, Kevin, right? We have the technology, I think.
I think we should get rid of toll roads before we make the government run auction sites.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think it would be cheaper, you know, like get it directly from the Army, your old Humvee or whatever.
Yeah, and they just list
I actually
it on
think
deals.
That there are
so wait,
sites
I'll
where
you
can
you
get
link.
Stuff directly from the military. Like there is actually a government auction site.
What's stopping me from just walking on base and taking what you want and saying I paid for this?
What me, the? I just found
I
something.
You and what Army? I am the Army.
Well, actually, I didn't pay for this. I forgot to file my taxes this year.
I'm looking at these.
It's like what you talked about. I saw in the Canadian auction men's Madison trousers.
Yeah.
Size 54. They're just like old pants. Oh my God. And then I like how it says description. This item was forfeited to the crown. I don't know.
What?
Bro, I bought what does queen, that mean? I bought the queen's pants. Wait.
Well, because it's like the crown just means like the government, government, right? But it's like, but who, why were pants forfeited to the government? Like, where did they come from?
Airport. Like prison.
Were they?
Yeah.
Like a lost and found or something. I can't. I
just like generic old pants.
No,
I'm looking I'm looking at lasers right now.
Yeah. What kind of lasers?
Fiber lasers, like the kind that I like have in the laser welder and laser cutter. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff. Like if there's a secret to gov deals or any of these auction sites, it's not cars. It's not like high frequency items or like high demand items.
Look at some of this stuff. So here's like a giant chiller, the size of a fridge, $5 right now. There's 17 hours left. Here's a metal 3D printer. It's $10,000.
What?
That's that's like one of those. I bought a $1 house that needs $500,000 of repairs.
But then there's like 30 fiber laser modules. I think they're starting.
Those are huge. Oh no. Oh
yeah. Yeah. So like $5, yes. $5, $5.
Yes.
And they only have like a couple watchers on them.
Oh,
only a couple bidders.
Yes.
And
oh
these
God.
Are all like new.
Yes.
So it was a metal 3D printing business that went out of business.
What kind of, what? It's just near
like,
IR?
Yeah. 1500 watts, 1070 nanometers. Yeah. And look at all of them. There's like 30 of them and they're all $5.
We should buy every single one of these if they go for $5.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you could sell these on eBay for like.
You know what? I'm going to give some advice.
$1,000.
To anyone who's selling shit on auction sites as a consumer, do not saturate your market. You will sell your stuff for way more if you list one or two things, identical things at a time. If you list multiple, like identical listings of the same thing, you're saturating the like three people who are going to fight for them, and they're each going to get one or three for cheap. It's like you got a bunch of monkeys and you put one banana in the middle of them. They're fighting. If you got a bunch of monkeys and you put a billion bananas in the middle of them, they don't even know the other monkeys exist.
Yeah. These all have like, they have one bid on them for $5.
Yeah. One guy.
I think it was
like,
made by the same guy like 4 days ago.
That's who you're fighting one guy and he realizes that if he like gives up on a couple of them, like he lets you take them.
Yeah.
You're not gonna, he's got, you know.
When we have like, it ends at 10 a.m. tomorrow.
How many are there?
I think 30.
How many is too many?
$1,000 worth?
Oh, fuck, dude. You should definitely, dude, yes. What, have you looked at the module information? Is there a data sheet?
Yeah, yeah.
You found it in everything?
There's some that are the exact same module that I have in my laser welder.
Oh, my God.
But they're nicer, the nicer models.
How many watts? They're all 1,500 or are they more?
Some are 1,000, some are 1,500. So not as powerful.
Yeah, but you don't need it.
You don't need it.
Oh,
not,
boy.
Not $4 or $5.
I think that,
yeah.
I think that, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should buy every single one.
Yeah.
I think we should buy. I think that is one of those things where you realize the more you know about something and the less everyone knows about something, the cheaper you can get it, the more money you can make off of it.
Yeah.
Like if you're an expert, like if you know that that laser module can be used in a certain way and for a certain market.
Yeah.
Because you know, you see crap and you're like, I don't know what that is. Don't buy it. Don't touch it. It's probably not valuable. Like there might be someone else out there that knows it's valuable.
Yeah.
Like, unless you know it's valuable.
But I know that these sell on eBay for a lot of money. Yeah. And if you sold them for like less than that, people would just gobble them up.
Yeah, you just put them up and list them.
I'm sure a lot of people are looking at this listing like, man, I wish I could go get those, but they can't. So
it's too much. Yeah. I think we should buy 30 laser modules.
Yeah. Tomorrow, 10 a.m. I'm going to be broke.
5 times 30.
Dude, there's just so much. I mean, the Canadian one is so much smaller, but there is something exciting about getting really expensive things for not very much.
Only if you know how to use them and know they're worth something. I think there's like a trap. So my old boss, when I worked at like my first engineering job where I didn't get to be an engineer, I was just the shop goblin. This guy had like 3 warehouses of some of the most ridiculous, worthless shit I've ever seen in my life.
Was it cool stuff?
It was like your eBay search in real life.
Oh.
So imagine going on eBay and seeing something cool.
Yeah.
And you buy it, and now it's not on eBay. It's in your warehouse, and you don't ever look at it. It's like I would say a mental illness or an addiction. Like, it's not, I would say, not healthy, because it's not a collection.
Yeah.
It's not being curated. It's just you saw something, you thought it was cool, so you bought it, showed up, you opened it, and put it on a shelf.
Hmm. Don't even take it apart. Don't even try to use it and then break it trying to get it to work.
There was a box of these wine openers. You might have seen the one. I like stole a couple of them because it was just like a whole, like literally a crate full of them.
Are they the CO2 injectors?
No, it's the ones that like, it's like a scissor lift. You like pull them apart and it's like a jack mechanism where like it's like a bunch of just pins holding the... So it's like a leverage amplifier. Like when you pull it back 6 inches, the cork screw only pulls back like, you know, 1 inch or 2 inches or something. Yeah. And there was an entire like wire rack crate filled with them.
Like IBC tote size, like the 4 foot by 4 foot thing. What?
Like thousands of them.
Why?
I have no fucking idea.
Does he ever try to resell them?
No, he's rich.
Maybe he likes them and they went out of business.
No, I probably got a deal on him. And he was like, that's a good deal. And those are cool. And he bought them. And they sit
I can respect that.
No, but he kept them. He didn't do anything with them.
No, because it's about getting a good deal.
There were fucking like rocket engines and fire trucks scattered around the small parking lot space we had. Like literally like probably 8 foot diameter, like the expansion nozzle.
Oh, yeah. Is he going to die soon or something?
Probably.
Why? And then it's all going to go back up on eBay and somebody else is going to.
He's not healthy. No, this is not going on eBay. How do they do that? This might actually go. It might be enough stuff that it might actually end up on eBay.
Or like somebody auction site.
Yeah, they might wholesale it, or they might do like a commission system where they take what they do for estate sales. Like if it's valuable.
Are you still on good terms with them?
I don't think the guy remembers me. I have told stories of him eating a half gallon of blue cheese at Black Angus, though, so I'm not sure if he knows about that. He was going to be super excited about me.
Well, you just need an in somehow.
Also, I can't. It's not my fault that he ate an entire bowl of blue cheese at Black Angus. That's on him. He did it in front of his staff. I'm allowed to talk about it. What are you trying to buy, Nigel?
Do I want to
When does it end? Just say what it
tomorrow.
Is it the helium generator?
It's a thing that Kevin shared with me.
Cryo cooler?
Mm-hmm.
So it takes gas.
I was gonna build not the cryo cooler, but I was gonna build that setup, basically.
The ultimate dry
ice
bomb. The ultimate dry ice bomb.
Yes. No, like I have a cryo cooler that can do liquid helium temperatures, but it's like you have to kind of build a thing around the cryo cooler to condense the helium. But then I saw that listing and I'm like, if I can do that for...
You have to build a thing around a cryo cooler?
So, well, because the cryo cooler has, the one I have is 2 stages where the first one I think is 50 Kelvin and then the second stage is like 40, it's 4.2 Kelvin. It's literally at the liquefact, like the...
Is it a cryo cooler in a cryo cooler?
What do you mean?
Like a stage?
Like they're stacked, like in series?
Oh, sorry. It's like a arm.
Or like 2 totally different units that like feed in.
No, you could just think about it. Like there's the cryo cooler, like top part, and then it goes down and there's like a big ring that's like the higher stage. So it's like the hotter one. Then it kind of goes down into a tinier one.
Is it like encapsulated in the first one? So the first one is the heat sink for the second one?
No, no, they're just two separate things.
Why?
I don't know how it mechanistically works, but the reason for it is because the first stage has a lot more, I don't know the exact numbers, but it has like somewhere around like 45 watts of cooling capacity at around 45 Kelvin.
At the cost of 45 kilowatts?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But then the one that's at 4.2 Kelvin that can actually condense the helium only has 1 watt of cooling power. Mm. So you kind of want to get any helium coming in or any, I was going to say any gas, but any helium coming in, you want it to get it from room temperature to about 45 or 50 Kelvin, and then to pass it slowly over the one that has much less cooling power that will actually liquefy it.
I wonder if it's two different kind of refrigerant tunings. So like, I think a regular like home refrigerator is designed specifically to operate at room temperature. So you're taking your working gas, you're compressing it, cooling it, and expanding it. And that all
it's like
happens.
The difference in temperature is like tuned to room temperature.
Exactly.
Like around it.
Like, you know, the phase change, like, you know, like the thermodynamic cycle of that specific refrigerant, the working gas. And so if you try to make it work at lower temperatures, it probably doesn't work as well, or works in a like way that you don't want it, or inefficient or something like that. But my guess is, even if it's like the pressure in the system, like if once you get colder, you need to have either maybe like a different refrigerant or a different different pressures or a different.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe you're working with like maybe it's less gas or maybe it's more gas because the whole system's you know cooler. Like, but it's not. How do they work?
It's a Gifford McMahon, so I don't know exactly the cycling, but I think it's physically how the cycling works.
No, that's is that the tube one? What do they call it?
I actually don't know.
Have you seen Hyperspace Pirates video series on? Yeah, So I think it's the one that he's trying to make with like the buffer tube or something.
I think they are Stirling engines.
But I think his is a Stirling, I think. That's what I thought.
So the Stirling engine is a like air displacement thing. Wait, how does this work? Because when you heat up one side of the Stirling engine, I built one in high school.
Mm-hmm.
You take, it was like out of a CD case, like the clear plastic, like cylinder. You have a displacement piston, which is like...
He's doing pulse tube.
Yeah, pulse tube. That's what I meant. Well, no, not pulse tube. That's one that you feed with compressed air and it like you get the hot and the cold end.
Mm.
He was doing one before that.
I don't know how any of this works. I'm not even going to pretend.
It's actually
I think it's a
lot more
Stirling engine. I think it is a Stirling engine. It like compresses the working fluid. And then it expands and it like displaces the air. So like it moves the air.
Compresses it, cools it, and then expands.
Exactly. But so it does it with like a piston. So like it squishes the air, which compresses it, which makes it hot.
Yeah.
And then the displacement piston goes down. So the working gas gets shoved out of the coolant system up to the top where there's heat sinks. So it comes back down to room temperature or whatever. And then when the cycle continues, the displacement piston pulls up, which pushes the compressed gas down, and then the piston retracts, which causes it to expand, which causes it to absorb energy. So it literally is like taking this blob
of
gas.
The air has
gas.
To do work for it to cool down.
So it's compressing it and then displacing it to the heat sinks. There's two pistons, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's decompressing it after moving it down to the refrigerating end.
Yeah.
So it's literally the gas is just like...
I mean, I think they all kind of... They all just thermodynamically work on the expansion and compression of gas, I think.
But I think the thought is the second stage is because whatever working fluid they're using inside does not work well at lower temperatures. So they have to use a different system. Or maybe more compression or less compression. I don't know.
For helium, all of the refrigerants are helium.
The fuck?
Because you can't, nothing can get, basically.
How did they make the first one then, Nigel?
What do you mean?
Oh, wait, no, it's not liquid helium.
It's not liquid, so it's using high pressure helium gas as
because it's a higher pressure. So
you have to feed gas into the cooler. Is it? Do you want to see if it is a Stirling engine? I'm curious.
Yeah. Take
because there are so many different types. I know that there is.
Yeah.
No. This one's a Gifford McMahon. But then there are Stirling cryo coolers. Then there are pulse tube cryo coolers.
A Gifford McMahon? I don't know what that is.
It's just the design, but I think they all fundamentally work on the same like principle. Like types of cryo coolers.
Gifford McMahon cryo coolers. Whether you need 10 watts is, and this is not a name brand. This is like the actual phenomenon.
So yeah, there's Stirling. Pulse tube, that is what Hyperspace was doing.
So there's Stirling, Gifford McMahon, pulse tube, Joel Thompson, and Brayton.
The first Gifford McMahon cryo cooler in the 1963, over 20 different baseline cryo mech models have been introduced. Blah, 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 blah.
I think they said the Gifford McMahon has a high capacity for cooling. It's simpler, but it's not as efficient, I thought. There's just like pros and cons of everything.
I never understand the regenerator part. Like,
So
it just has like, you know, there's a diagram of it and it has this thing called the regenerator.
Does that help the working gas?
I don't know.
What?
I saw Hyperspace Pirates like entire video series on making this pulse cryo cooler. Mm-hmm. And he kept about the regenerator and how it has to be like the gas has to move. I think it is like the heat sink kind of thing. But it's like you can't have it that you can't have the gas travel through it too fast or too slow.
Yeah.
It has to be just right. And
I think you want to create like a grade. You want to capture like a gradient. Like I think if that's what it is.
Oh, yeah. It has to be like the right material where it's like it's conductive, but not too conductive. And
because
you don't want the heat to be able to travel from one side to the other.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, this is kind of maybe a shitty analogy, but what are the thermal tiles called? The Peltier units.
Oh yeah.
Like I'm using one for a project, and if like you put 12 volts into it, one side gets hot, one side gets cold. If you leave it on and don't cool the hot side, both sides get hot, but the cool side is slightly less hot.
Yeah.
So it's like it is working and it's making it cold, but since you can't get rid of the heat fast enough, it's actually hotter than the rest of the room because it's like an inefficient process,
mm-hmm.
like 10% efficiency. Or something.
Yeah.
Maybe less. No, I think it's 10.
So you're making 9 parts of heat for every
one part of cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think you want to, if you can like move, I think it's like, it's not, I don't know, man, I'm just making things up right now. But I think it's like, you probably want to add heat or remove heat from it at the correct rate. So you don't end up like actually adding more heat to the system. That makes sense. Like, or you want to, like, I'm assuming, what's it recovering, hot or cold, the regenerator?
I think hot.
So then you want the beginning of it to be as hot as possible.
Or
but if you let the gas stay in too long.
Or I think it's like a pre-cooler for the gas that's coming in.
So you're like, I think with turbine power plants, they'll preheat the water. Using the exhaust. So it's like you have extra heat coming out of the engine that's not that you're from the fuel you're burning that like the exhaust is not going into turning the water into steam.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take that and you like wrap it around the pipes that are coming in.
Like rocket nozzles do that too.
Because the steam has to leave as steam, but it still has energy in it. And so you can like capture that energy earlier in the cycle by like, I think that's like regeneration.
Oh, okay, okay.
I've been doing some research into biochar, like, which is like apparently just basically, it's basically charcoal and the hippie, I asked ChatGPT if it was hippie shit and it said no. And then, but it still really feels like hippie shit, apparently acts as a, like a medium for like
microbes
and stuff or whatever. It like can help soil keep beneficial.
And because stuff needs, they always say like, oh yeah, you need like carbon nutrients. And I'm like, what's eating pure carbon?
I don't really,
nothing.
I don't,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I
just think it's because you're skipping past a lot of the like decomposition and you're just getting like the mineral nutrients out of whatever you burn. like the ash and the phosphate.
Though it's just carbon.
Yeah, but it's still in there.
The just carbon?
It's not just carbon.
I thought it was just carbon.
Well, I don't know. Nigel, when you turn something into charcoal, like what happens to all the other bits? You know, like the nitrates and the phosphates.
The
off
gas?
I don't think so. I think
you should. I mean, it depends. It depends. Like, what are you trying to turn to charcoal?
Is it a different type of carbon? Is this charcoal go from some carbon form to another carbon form when it turns to ash? Because it turns to CO2 is what comes off, right?
What are you trying
to
want to
keep
charcoal?
It from turning into CO2.
But what's left after you turn it into CO2?
Well, like on a barbecue grill, how you have the gray stuff.
Yeah, what is that?
That's ash. That's like all the other stuff that was left in the plants that didn't off gas. Because it can't, because it's like there's potassium hydroxide and stuff like that.
Yeah, so like if you have oxygen present, you'll have things like probably there's things,
but
like
charcoal is not
that
just
will
carbon.
Come.
No,
okay, the charcoal can't.
It really is one point towards hippie shit because all the hippies
the minerals about will
it,
be
I have
left
no
behind.
Idea what they're talking about. I trust. But
it depends.
More like than a hippie.
You know what they did? They just make biochar seem like this, you know, snake oil. It's like it's the best thing, you know. They're like, biochar, that's all you need.
Soil scientist told me this, and so I was like, I feel like I need to look into this. And then I looked into it and I was like, I don't know.
You know what else is a miracle? They sell it at Walmart. It comes in a little green box. It's called the Miracle Grow.
It's called grandma's grandma's ashes.
Hey, that would probably work.
Oh, anyway, so I was like, I was looking into this, and of course then it's like, oh, you know, building like a charcoal drum. And what they do, or what the fancy ones do, not the hippie ones, is the wood's off-gassing, and the off-gassing is flammable.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to heat the wood up.
Yeah.
But you don't expose the wood to oxygen, right? Because all then it's going to burn and turn into ash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you like make it just whoop.
Yep. So you take a straw, you put it in the mouth and wrap it around to the ass.
You don't stick it in, but you just let it blow air.
So you like get it started. Yeah. You like start the fire on the outside of your like kind of your pressure vessel that's not actually a pressure vessel. And then it starts heating up the wood, which then causes the off-gassing, which is what? Just volatile compound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have
and it's just breakdown products of the wood itself that just off-gas.
And it is flammable. And so then you take that and dump it back into whatever you were heating it, whether with wood or like propane or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can like, you're like burning the wood indirectly.
Which is
kind of funny, but I mean, like that's kind of like a regeneration. Like you're recovering the, a lot of people don't do it, but like, I don't know. That to me is kind of like,
you can also
process.
Like distill it and then you get like this,
like a liquid.
Yeah. Like a liquid, the wood gas or whatever.
What would you do with that?
I don't know. That's some homesteader.
It's a fuel. People use it for like, I don't know.
Homesteaders will spend like $10,000 making a wood gasifier.
To save $3 of gasoline.
Yeah. So they can use all the extra wood that they cut down.
I think it is funny to think about it that way though. Kind of like how you're mentioning when you heat up the wood. And I mean, the thing you just mentioned is like, that's just what happens when you burn wood, right? Like you heat it up enough that it volatilizes and then it just all happens in one spot where it's like, burning, the heat it makes can burn itself. So what you're doing is just, separating it kind of weirdly.
Yeah.
But I think what is weird, when you do collect like the wood gas or whatever, it's like wood is just this flammable volatile stuff, but kind of soaked into a cellulose matrix. But you separate it. Now you just have like this fuel that is kind of like, I don't know. It's like if you burn it, you are kind of burning. It's like burning the wood, but you just took away.
Is it not? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I think that's weird.
No, yeah. It's like taking your brain out of your body, but still having it connected with wires. You're just like, because you know, like
it's
if
like,
you've seen the
you
magic
have the
trick,
two parts. Yeah.
You like, you take a candle and they like, will like make the flame go away. And then they'll like add the flame back. Cause it's like, it's not actually the wick that's burning. It's the off gassing of the been pulled up, heated. And then it's like, you know, I mean the wick is burning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a fine particle mist of
it's like a mist
smoke,
of wax.
Of
yeah.
Wax, yeah.
And so it's like, it's not like nothing's actually burning. Like the wood's not actually burning. It's the off gassing that's causing the flames. And once all those, everything is gone, it's like you get the smoldering, like the charcoal, which is just, I guess, whatever's trapped in there that's still flammable.
Yeah. Yeah. Like just the carbon really.
Plus the extra crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that's not hot enough to burn away in a fire.
So what is, okay, when you have charcoal, like for your barbecue.
Yeah.
What is burning?
The carbon is reacting with oxygen.
So the carbon, like the form the carbon is in, is reactive to oxygen.
Yeah, when it gets hot.
And so then the entirety of the carbon leaves.
Yep.
And you're left with any of the shit that was just straggling. Mm-hmm. The non-carbon stuff.
Yeah.
So you're
like the nutrients the plant took up.
You're adding basically more CO2 to the environment and the carbon just completely disappeared.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there goes all the carbon that trees sequestered.
That's kind of cool. I don't know. There's something about that where it's just like completely disappears.
Yeah. You know what's crazier? That trees are just pulling all that carbon out of the air. Opposite,
using the sun. Bro, it's fucked. So the sun is used to pull carbon out of the air. And then we just like monkey mode.
Uh-huh.
Put it back.
Set it free. It wants to be free.
Trees are like solar panels and firewood's like batteries.
Man, you've been on that biochar shit, aren't you?
I smoked too much biochar, Kevin. I can't think about things without seeing rainbows and drugs and what else do hippies do? Homesteading.
That's most.
Chickens.
You know, okay.
Crystals.
Here's another. Yeah, my crystals. My crystal meth. Here's another rabbit hole I went down last night. I don't know how I got into this. It's probably got recommended. We've got the chickens now, and the chicken feed is pretty expensive. I was trying to do the math of how much do the chickens eat, and apparently it's about, I think the 50-pound bag is about 2 weeks of chicken food. I don't know how much letting them outside, like letting them raise, is going
supplement
to reduce the cost. Because I was trying to figure out, is it worth buying like a pallet of chicken feed for cheaper? But then you have, you know, like a year's worth of food that you have to store, then rats and stuff get into it.
Yeah.
So then I'm like looking at other stuff, and you can like feed just scraps to chickens. Like you can just give them food.
Like anything. Okay. Table scraps?
Yeah, just table scraps for them. I mean, someone's going to say, oh, you can't give them this and that. And it's like, they cost $6 each. I'll give them whatever. But what I saw people doing is they'll just have a bucket of food scraps that they like bait flies into, this like soldier, like black soldier fly or something it's called.
They like buy fly eggs
the flies naturally are attracted to it. And you throw anything in there and it like rots, and it's like, it's truly actually horrific. Like I hate this kind of stuff because it's like fly nightmare. And then the grubs like crawl upwards, and so like they crawl out of the tote,
and that's where
the chicken just go and eat them. So it's like, but I don't really understand the difference between like, why not just give your chickens food scraps directly versus then throwing them in a tub and waiting for them to turn into grubs.
Maybe because the grubs will eat like rotten food.
Yeah, they will.
So you can like
stuff too that you don't give the chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only thought.
So
I
you
have.
Can just like keep adding stuff to the pile, and you don't have to care about stuff on the bottom going bad.
Or is it hippie shit?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like hippies do that thing where they like come up with a process that they then don't do any math to like vet and validate, and they'll put all this effort into something where it's like, just give the chicken scraps directly.
Yeah, just give them enough so they eat it all.
Yeah,
and then give them some more.
Like, I don't understand. Like,
you know, it's like a lazy workaround that they've gaslit themselves into thinking is better.
Yeah, they're doing, but it's lazy. They're doing more work for something that does not get them any benefit, or maybe even less. I think that is pretty much what science is like validating this kind of stuff of like, does it actually make sense to feed the chickens grubs or just give them the food directly? Like maybe there's a reason, but also maybe just give them like a salt block to lick and they get the whatever weird mineral that they were getting out of the grub.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Or why not just something that attracts flies?
Yeah.
And the,
well, they, I think the flies are harder for them to catch or something maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I'm just asking questions. What do you think, Nigel? What are you looking at?
Videos that I filmed.
You need to lock your computer when you're on a podcast. This is disrespectful.
I got sidetracked because
say something insightful, Nigel. Right now, I'm putting you on the spot.
A window. It's very insightful. A window popped up that I had open, and then I went, "Wait, where are all the files that I filmed?" And I have no idea where they went. And I started getting concerned.
Did you find them?
Nope.
Oh, should we talk about the grapple? I think we should talk about the grapple.
The results that you got?
Has anyone else tried the grapple since you made that video?
What do you mean?
Are there any other people that have like followed it as a tutorial? How do you feel about following that video as a tutorial, by the way? Does that make you comfortable or uncomfortable?
I mean, they can do whatever they want.
Because I was feeling like, man, if Nigel left some information out and we get hurt, I'm going to sue him.
Absolutely going to sue him.
Yeah. He didn't tell us not to try it at home, right?
I thought saying that it was bird repellent was pretty...
It's food grade, man. What could food grade possibly mean if not you can eat it?
Yeah. Nervously drinks iced tea.
Yeah, that's a good point there, Kevin.
I think the apple definitely could be left longer for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need to explain?
I don't think you guys did it right. Mine was perfect.
No, go fuck yourself.
No.
What do you mean?
My apple was perfect. Did you use a Fuji apple?
Yeah, we used like four different apples. You didn't even watch it, did you?
I didn't know it was out. Your turnaround time is incredible.
Yeah.
I don't watch his videos.
It was like one day. It was nuts.
Yeah. The power of a lean, mean editing machine. If I have to edit my own videos, they come out every 2 years.
How far did the apple, the grape flavor penetrate into the apples when you tried it?
The entire thing.
I don't know what we did differently.
Did you leave it out for like an hour and then leave it for 24 hours in the fridge?
Probably. I think we might have just thrown it in the fridge, but
you dunked it and then threw it in the fridge.
I think the dunking just makes a film.
It just coats it.
I think it just coats it, and so I don't think you have to dunk it very long.
Okay.
And then you let it sit for a long time.
What concentration?
2%. I did a cup and a half in 5 gallons, which I still feels like it's not 2%, but I think it is. I did the right a cup and a half in 5 gallons is 2%.
Dude, I don't know. How many cups?
That would be like 50.
128.
50 cups is 5 gallons. Does that seem right?
32 cups per gallon?
Dude, I hate doing any calculations with Imperial. It's just horrible.
Yeah. I like just moving decimal points around. I don't like this having to whip out my phone and conversions and
base 16.
So we dunked everything. We just threw it in the tub, let it get a nice little coat, except the fucking lettuce. Holy shit. And then we pulled it out into a tray and stuck the tray in the fridge for 24 hours. That's it.
Hmm.
The apple, or are you sure that the interior of the apple had been permeated?
Yeah, we tested it.
So the way Kevin did it is he ate it sort of like goblin style, where we took the wedge and ate the center first.
Yes.
And I didn't taste anything. Not until I got to within like a...
Wait. I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm watching your video.
You look so fucking bored. Holy shit.
Okay. No. Okay. I was so confused because you were washing it. I was like, why is your solution clear?
Do you have any idea what else is in the bird stop? No,
probably nothing. Honestly, it's just some sort of surfactant to just keep the methylanthranolate
at bay,
suspended. Yeah, I think the rest is water, probably, like, or maybe it's just maybe it's just pure surfactant.
I think that's there's definitely something going on in there.
Some kind of soapy thing.
Yeah, I think it might actually work. What is probably what makes this work, though, is like I'm assuming the methylanthralinate. Is that my methylanthralinate?
Methylanthralinate.
Chemistry is the worst. Is volatile. Yes, I mean I can't imagine it's anything.
Yeah,
other than volatile.
It's
an.
You could
it's
say
an oil
that.
Though.
The whole neighborhood smells like grape.
Yeah, it does. So like
it's volatile. Yeah.
So the surfactant is keeping it like locked in.
It just allows it to dissolve in water.
So then, basically what you're doing is you're coating the fruits with a film, and it's slowly bleeding out into the fruit instead of it just like dumping all at once into the air.
Yeah.
So it would just be like letting it sit longer potentially.
Would help it like diffuse from the edge like deeper into the apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or doing like multiple coatings. Like do one, let it sit, do another, let it sit.
I mean, looks like you did it right.
I'm curious if you...
But did you use specifically a Fuji apple?
Yes! Whatever the fuck that is, it said Fuji when I got it.
Why does it have to be a Fuji apple?
Does not have to be a Fuji apple.
Specifically in the patent, it names them.
We definitely tried a Honeycrisp, Fuji, Delicious, Red Delicious, Granny Smith.
It worked on all of them.
It worked on all of them, yeah.
Huh, okay.
The weirdest part was some of them were like, it almost like the flavor profile became completely different with it added.
Yeah.
Like it just didn't work at all. Like it's like you need certain
things. Oh, like the Granny Smith. I don't think it worked with that one.
The one I'm thinking mostly of is just the regular grape.
Like, oh, that.
It did something to the grapes, but it absolutely did not make them taste grapier.
Hmm. And some of this, you couldn't even taste it in some stuff. Like the radish, I couldn't really taste it.
It just made it taste like, it was like almost like a different flavor.
Oh, the cucumber was weird.
Yeah.
And the tomato.
Yeah.
It made them taste really grassy.
Like it like added a completely different element of flavor to it than grape. I don't know. I think that's really interesting.
It's almost like a mystery flavor. You don't know what it's going to do to a certain fruit or vegetable.
Like if you don't have other flavors with it, like it's almost like, you know, like the smell and scent science. I think we've talked about like the idea that you can mix three scents. I don't know if it went in the video, but you said like skatol in low quantities is fruity or floral.
Or it's like, yeah, it's supposed to be floral.
And then in high quantities is feces.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, in the same way, like I always, because like chicken is sulfurous. So it's like if people, I've always found, at least for me, if someone's cooking chicken, but far away, it'll smell sulfury. But then when you're, I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Then as I walk, like sometimes even just a few steps, I'm like, oh, that's chicken.
It's like the like red blue shift traveling at the speed of light. It's like the speed of smell, like we'll separate all the smells.
Yeah.
And so you're recognizing them as something different than what they are together.
I've never smelled.
Well, I guess like.
Sulfury.
Really
yeah.
I think the
Who's
reason
Who's cooking
why,
in your house?
God knows. my mom. So the, what my assumption would be is that, I mean, this is just a fact. You have like different sensitivity to different smells, but it's just kind of like when you smell a complex smell like chicken, you know it's chicken because you're getting hit with this like array of chemicals. Neurons are all firing at the same time, and your brain is like, okay, this kind of complex signal is chicken. But if you go far away, there are certain smells that might drop below their smell threshold, but then certain ones that might still make it there. And like you're very people are very sensitive to sulfur. So it's just kind of like you might just smell the sulfur part, but then you take like, you know, you go just a bit closer and then you get the other ones.
It's like a spectrum analysis, but with like space and smell. That's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
The idea that a smell can change over time because of the properties of the individual smell components.
Yeah, because some are more volatile. So they like, they're faster. Yeah.
Imagine like farting and then it like, if you're far enough away, it smells good. That's like floral.
But your nose, certain smells also desensitize your neurons. So then it's like the smell can change over time.
Mm-hmm.
It is pretty odd.
Like, it really is kind of makes you a little bit uncomfortable to think about. Like, there is no such thing as the smell of something, except for maybe something like methyl and threonate.
Yeah,
like,
pure chemicals.
But even then,
chemicals in a certain dosage.
Even then, like, your pure chemical probably hits like a bunch of different receptors. So then it's like every chemical is hitting a bunch of different receptors. And then it's not like there's one receptor for like methyl and threonate, right? It probably hits a little bit of like, I don't know, hits like all these different ones. And like that whole complex image, your brain goes methyl and threonate. But then you mix that with something else. And now it's like that plus something else makes a new complex image.
How does your nose work?
You have nerves that stick out of your brain up here.
But like how many different types?
Oh, I don't know.
Is it like...
What? Yeah, 10? The nerves must have some kind of special shape to them so different molecules can fit in there, right?
Is it like
I think
like
they have
a
like little
dozen?
Receptors and stuff that just are
How
on
many
the
receptors though?
I'd wager at least one.
God damn it.
Maybe I would say two.
You think two different ones?
Well, one for each side.
God damn it. You fucking assholes. You know what I'm saying?
How many
you got in your eyes? You've got colors and light.
So you got like four, right? Wait, there's 350 different genes. Oh, no. Yeah, 350 different genes. So it says humans should, this is according to Google AI, should have around 350 different types of scent receptors.
Holy shit.
This other one says, yeah, the NIH says less than 400.
That's fucking crazy.
Do dogs have more different types or just more receptors?
I can look it up. It says mice have 1,200. So mice alone just have like, there's just more acuity, I guess.
So we're like smell blind, basically.
Yeah.
We can't smell the third form of skatol.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is, I can't even describe it then because we don't know
the
what
total,
it is.
The total number of receptors in your nose, like not just the numbers of types of receptors. Humans have 100 million to 300 million like receptors.
Okay.
Sorry. That was dogs. Dogs have 100 to 300 million. Humans have about 5 to 6. So like the straight number of like your, it just means that your detector is so much more sensitive.
My sniffer. That's bad that there's some dogs below us. That's
well, that just means that my sniffers have a better smell to noise ratio.
Don't
you
they
know
say,
they're bigger?
Yeah, exactly.
Women, women can see more colors. Maybe we can smell more smells.
Yeah,
that's why farts don't gross us out as much.
Yeah, we get the nuance.
Yeah,
in a fart.
There's a complexity there that women just don't understand. Mm-hmm. Like when you
do they?
Capoeira, garlic, Frank's Red Hot.
No, but it was just Italian. Mm. Italian is just,
a Hot Pocket that was on sale.
Yes, the pepperoni one.
Yes. It was expired the day after you bought them. Well, I think that's interesting. Maybe we ask more about smells on the Patreon episode of the Safety Third podcast.
Coming up right now.
Right now. If you support us on Patreon, you get an extra podcast every single week where we do the same thing we do now, plus also Q&A too sometimes. So I actually think that when we are answering questions and they're asking good questions, that it's sometimes I like where that conversation goes.
Yeah.
They make you think about things you wouldn't think about otherwise because they're not afraid to say the dumbest shit ever.
Oh, no, they're not.
No. What happens if you get cum in your blood?
And if you're not afraid to say things like that, then
this is
then
like
join the Discord
in
server.
Fifth grade when you did sex ed.
Because you'll be right at home.
They put a mystery box where you could ask any question you want. Mm-hmm. You write on a piece of paper and throw it in and we'll answer. That's kind of how it works. Except your name's attached to it, so we'll shame you. All right, we'll see you guys on Patreon.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.